Hello, America, and to all of our listeners all over the world. You'll be another exciting edition of Let's Weekend. I'm your host, my friend Perkins. Joining me as always is Chris Sologi. Say hi to the good people, Chris.
Hello.
Yeah, so it's just going to be us two this week, but we are so not missing any material because, of course, the midterms happened this week, and the result was a big, deafening meh. If you were expecting some kind of explosive way, one way or the other, it just didn't happen. It all sort of petered out into something rather, I guess, not terribly exciting. Which is kind of honestly not entirely fair because there actually was a lot of exciting stuff that did happen. It's just that all the big stuff that the media had been claiming was going to happen pretty much for weeks on end just didn't happen. So much so that there are now several clips online of media people going like, what's happening? How did we get this so wrong? And I think at this point, it's safe to say pollsters are full of shit and you shouldn't listen to them. Just spitballing right here. But anyway, so yeah, the midterms happened, and obviously we're going to be talking about the results of that. Also, we got some news about crypto exchange. Once again, it is still very much a scam, and people keep losing millions of dollars over it. Studio Ghibli made a short for Disney Plus. Twitter Blue is being taken down because, as you're about to find out, Elon Musk still kind of sucks at running Twitter. And, of course, we got a bunch of Netflix stuff, news and a bunch of trailers to talk about. Some of them pretty good looking. We got that and more on this week's edition of Let's Weekend. So, to start us off with, as always, we'll start off with all the stuff we've been doing up to this point to get us up to this moment. And Chris, as always, we start with you. What have you been doing this week?
Well, today was the start of fall.
Mm-hmm.
As yesterday's big, like, rainstorm, I guess, remnants of the hurricane that briefly hit the U.S. and then turned into a tropical storm.
Yep.
Dropped about a day's worth of rain
mm-hmm.
on us up here, and that sent the temperatures dropping from about 60, I think, was the high yesterday, to mm-hmm. right now it's saying it's about 35 degrees.
Mm.
Pretty big drop. Along with that, we got some snow.
Mm.
Nothing that sticks or anything, but enough to be annoying.
Yeah.
For that kind of thing, and that's kind of a thing that's happening across the country is temperatures is dropping rapidly for many people across the country, especially those in the South that are not prepared for it.
Yep. It's going to be high in the 50s tomorrow, and for the foreseeable future, it looks like.
Yeah, I saw that Arkansas, their college stadium, they got a nice bit of frost.
Yep.
About 25 degrees, I think, over there. And their people in charge of keeping the field in good shape
mm-hmm.
decided they were going to fight the frost with water.
Yeah, that's a rookie mistake right there.
They're like, oh, the water's warmer than the ice. That'll melt it. It's like, that's not how cold works. All you've done is add more fuel to the ice.
Hmm.
So, yeah, they had fun with that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, for things I've been watching, I watched Weird, the Al Yankovic story.
Yep.
That is on Roku. You can just Google search for the movie. It should pull up a link for the Roku player.
Mm-hmm.
You can just watch it on the web. If you have a Roku app on your TV or whatever you're using, you should be able to watch it through there as well.
Mm.
Definitely recommend it because it's a very good movie. Mm. It's completely absurd
mm-hmm.
the entire way through. It does not do many things to play it straight.
Mm-hmm.
It takes every chance it can to add some absurd angle to the way that it's kind of focused on, like, the late 70s to the mid 80s mm-hmm. for that part of his career. As he sort of gets the spark of doing parodies Mm-hmm. Especially with doing a parody of My Sharona.
Mm-hmm.
As he's in his apartment with some friends.
Mm.
And, you know, ends up making bologna sandwiches for them. It's like, that's where he gets the spark for that. And, he goes into the music executive office that where the main one is played by the real Weird Al.
Mm-hmm.
That they tell him to go fuck off, basically.
Yeah.
Because, you know, that's not what they're looking for. People just making up new lyrics for, you know, songs.
Mm.
So then he goes to try and do his first, like, live performance. Mm-hmm. Goes to a random bar where he does I Love Rocky Road.
Mm-hmm.
The parody of I Love Rock and Roll.
Mm-hmm.
They do a few more songs throughout. There's trying to think the some of that stuff, and like he puts out his first album that goes quintuple platinum. He's the biggest music star in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And so Madonna comes calling because she's very interested in him.
Mm-hmm.
And all that, and you'll find out like what her true motives are. Mm-hmm. As you go along, but kind of takes them through a lot of troubles of music and alcohol and drugs and all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
That is a big part of the story here, as it sort of just walks along the typical biopic kind of tropes.
Mm-hmm.
Except for Weird Al applies none to him,
because
mm-hmm. he's not a guy that really, you know, was an alcoholic or
nope.
got addicted to drugs or
mm-mm.
became a huge celebrity.
I mean, he did become a huge celebrity, but
I mean, he's not really a huge celebrity. He's just a notable person to a degree. Like, none of his songs ever really charted all that high. Like, his highest charting song is White Nerdy.
Well, yeah, but he also had a number one debuting album as well.
Yeah, but yeah, he's a guy that's done well for himself,
mm-hmm.
but has never been, you know, on the level of the top musical artist.
Mm.
So, yeah, they just inject a lot of absurdity and do a lot of good cameos and such. There's a good party that Dr. Demento has with, like, all the top comedians and such of the late 70s, early 80s.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where you see a lot of comedians show up.
Yep.
Conan's playing somebody in there, Conan O'Brien.
Mm-hmm.
You see some Lonely Island people in there. One's playing Pee Wee Herman,
mm-hmm.
because of course.
Mm.
It has a little funny bit where was it Wolfman Jack shows up, played by Jack Black, who has somebody else show up as like a member of Queen, but nobody knows him. It's like, oh, I'm a bassist.
Yeah.
And he's like, I challenge him to parody, you know, Another One Bites the Dust. And that's where he comes up with, you know, Another One Rides the Bus,
mm-hmm.
Kind of thing. Lots of good cameos and such. It kind of goes into a weird period where he comes up with his first original song, Eat It.
Mm.
That's his first original song, and then he finds out afterwards, like, oh, Michael Jackson has parodied your song. Come up with new lyrics, you know, Beat It. There's a good bit there where he's like, Beat It, what's that about, eggs? It's like, no, I think it's about fighting or something. And he just goes into a murderous rage over that. It's like, who would dare create new lyrics to a song that already exists? What kind of lowlife would do that?
Mm.
Kind of thing. And yeah, all sorts of fun stuff in there. Definitely worth the watch. And the way it ends is really, really well done. Complete with a good credit sequence where they take a lot of photos that he had and plenty that he's photoshopped into
mm-hmm.
To add to the story there. That's pretty well done. It's a fun movie. People should check it out. it's free.
Mm.
So yeah, there's that. There's Enola Holmes 2. Mm. That is on Netflix now. Really enjoyed this. And kind of starts integrating more of the wider Sherlock Holmes lore into it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, say, Moriarty gets involved in here, but with their own twist on that.
Mm.
Maybe a Mr. Watson shows up, or Dr. Watson shows up at some point, so you get some of that, but along the way, it's a big story about corruption, as both Enola and Sherlock are on separate cases, but figure out that they may be intertwined in the same thing, as deals with, you know, child labor, lots of exploitation, labor exploitation, all that kind of stuff. So, and Millie Bobby Brown does a lot of looking at the camera whenever she finds some ridiculous shit going on. A lot of like chauvinistic men whenever they try to discredit her, that kind of stuff. But yeah, fun movie. The other thing I've been watching more One Piece, getting back into it. Now I'm around like episode 240, something like that. The Water 7 arc, as they call it. It's a lot of weird stuff going on right now, is some big stuff is afoot, and yeah, now I'm starting to see more of like where like more modern One Piece is at, coming from. Like, Luffy has a big scar in his chest, and I've seen how he gets that. It's kind of wild that stuff is happening now, versus, you know, at some point over the next 800 episodes still. But yeah, still enjoying that a lot. So that is it for things I've been watching. For games, I've been playing some Arcade Paradise, getting back into that. Managing more of my laundromat that is slowly turning into an arcade. And you've gotten to the point where the dad is basically saying, like, all right, you seem to be doing pretty well. I'm going to stop following all the books and shit. So you're kind of given leeway to not worry too much about him, though, what you're doing. You're just not really worrying about him at all. So that's been good. And I did get one good upgrade with the sort of daily quest you get. I'll give you a separate currency that lets you get like upgrades that lets you basically make the game itself a bit better. Things like maybe having the store stay open longer, or the laundromat. But the one I got was making the time last longer. So you have a little less rush to get everything done at the exact second that it's available, especially when you got various daily quests that require you to play more of the games. So that's good. Been enjoying that still a lot. And the other game, just Rocket League, a lot of fun still. Just like, we're about to get the last round of seasonal missions unlocked, so looking forward to that. And that's been pretty much it for me. So how about you, Brandon?
Well, my gaming has pretty much entirely been centered around Persona 5 Royal for the past week. Nothing really much to say on that front, because, you know, it is still very much still Persona 5. It's just with some additional characters added on to it. And so one of the things that you have to do in order to, like, get, like, more of the actual game, because if you – have you played the original? You played Persona, the original Persona 5, right?
Both of them.
Okay, so – all right. So then you've played this. Okay, so you know how the original game ends, right?
No, I never beat it.
You never beat it? Okay, so the original – so Persona 5 Royal actually has, like, an additional semester added on to it. So where the original game ends, it actually keeps going. But in order to do that, there's a couple of things you have to do. And one of them is you have to try and more or less max out the relationship thing with three key characters, two of whom are the new characters that they introduced into this version. And one of them's actually pretty difficult. Well, actually, two of them's pretty difficult to do, but one of them's kind of difficult to do because it's the guy that they bring in as the school counselor, you know, after Kamoshida, confesses all the stuff he's done. And his schedule is kind of weird, and he's actually, like, unavailable during the whole time you're on summer break. So, yeah. And then, of course, there's Goro Akechi, you know, the boy detective guy who... He's difficult to do because his whole schedule is very weird. He's sort of constantly on the move and sort of like he'll kind of show up out of the blue. But basically the point is I've been trying to make an effort of, you know, making like a priority to max out my relationship stuff with those three things, because once you do, that both opens up not only the new semester, but it also opens up the true final boss. But you know, other than that, it is still very much the original Persona 5. Still very enjoyable. It's amazing how incredibly addictive that game becomes in just so many ways, but I do still love it. Highly recommend, especially if you got Game Pass, because you know, it's free for Game Pass right now. Take advantage of that. Other than that, just the usual. Still super into Japanese metal bands. Recently really got addicted to this band called Sex Machine Guns, which is, I think I've probably talked about these guys before. They're sort of like a, if I was to like talk to like a guy who was like really into a fellow metalhead and it's like, okay, how would you describe Sex Machine Guns to me? I would say they're kind of like a Japanese more melodic version of Strapping Young Lad, in that they're musically extremely technically competent with amazing playing, and their lyrics are all extremely silly, with the occasional serious stuff thrown in. The type of like lyrics I'm talking, and you know, it's like, well, yes, they're all in Japanese, obviously, but you know, you can translate that stuff. And, like, for example, their eponymous song, Sex Machine Gun, is literally a song about beating off. And it's literally the first song on their first album. they got songs about, like, a guy getting stood up by his date at a family restaurant, and he's getting increasingly pissed off at the waitress who keeps screwing up his order. Or they got a song about... a guy who is playing Tekken 2 at an arcade and then loses to this little kid, to the snot-nosed little kid, and so he's talking about how much he wants to beat the crap out of him. It's that kind of band. But musically, they're great. Highly recommend them. Really, just other than that, it's just getting ready for the cold to set in. It's going to... plummet down to, it's going to get pretty cold tonight, but tomorrow the highs are only going to be in the 50s and will more or less remain that way for the foreseeable future. And so it's genuinely that time of the year now. It's going to be so much fun to have to deal with. That's about everything I've been doing this week. You got anything else you want to add, Chris, before we move on?
Nope.
No, okay. Well, then it's now time for everybody's favorite part of the show, Brandon's Random Factoid. And this week, I'm going back to old, obscure computer games. A couple of shows ago, I talked about the sort of cult PC game called Drown God, which was essentially a sort of a Myst-type first-person puzzle adventure game where basically they try to tie in every single conspiracy theory that's ever existed into a single sort of unified narrative about aliens and how they supposedly seeded life on Earth and then had a civil war and now they're trying to come back. Right around the time that game came out, you know, PC gaming at that time was kind of going through a sort of an odd kind of like really kind of an odd sort of an odd kind of period, because PC gaming was, at one hand, it was trying to sort of set itself apart from console gaming, because keep in mind at this point in time, you know, stuff like, you know, a first-person shooter really it was only something you could, you know, really enjoy on a PC. Like, obviously, you get, you know, like, you know, versions of Doom that you could get on the SNES or the Genesis. But those were all iffy. But you could also, the other one that was really like big on the PC, of course, was of course point and click adventure games. And point and click adventure games, you know, they're fun, but they're also extremely frustrating, as anybody who's played a bunch of them can tell you. I mean, you recently did the recent Monkey Island game, so you know how frustrating those types of games can be.
Yeah. That's kind of the appeal, though.
Yeah, it's kind of the appeal, because it's also kind of esoteric. And
it's like, oh, this will take me a while to figure out. Mm-hmm. That's good. It's what people wanted.
Yeah. It's also a good way to tell, you know, unique stories a lot of times. And some of those stories can get really silly, you know, like Monkey Island, or they can get extremely dark. And this is the type of game that I'm talking about. It's a game that came out in 1996, and it's called Harvester. Basically, what this is it's a story that is basically, it's steeped in very gruesome, very dark social satire that's based around, you know, questions of like, you know, the relationship between fictional violence and actual violence, stuff like that. This basically, the game sort of goes like this. You play this teenager named Steve Mason, who, if you play the game, he's clearly not a teenager. He's like, dude definitely looks like he's in his 30s, but, you know, Dawson Creek type casting, right? But he wakes up, and he seems to be in this tiny American farming town that's called Harvest in the year 1953. He wakes up, and he has no memories of who he is or what his past is or anything like that. So he wakes up in his bedroom. He goes downstairs, tries to explore his home, and he discovers just a lot of weird shit. Like, he finds the woman who claims to be his mother, and he also finds the guy who's supposed to be his younger brother. And both of them are acting really strangely. Like, the mother is compulsively baking, like, dozens of cookies for a charity event that's a week away, which means she's constantly throwing out each subsequent batch, you know, and then starting up another. And then he also has a brother, a little kid brother, who's obsessively watching, like, an ultra-violent cowboy show that, for whatever reason, seems to be the only TV show in Harvest. So he leaves the house and he starts exploring the town, and he meets all these really weird, strange, sometimes hostile people that often come off more as like parodies of real people than just actual people. Like, there's a, you know, there's this fat sheriff who's constantly eating the cherry pie from the local diner. There's this deputy who's like really oversexed and like just a dirty old man. There's this next door neighbor who's by this guy named Mr. Potsdam, and his young daughter Stephanie, and apparently Steve and Stephanie are fixing to get married, which he obviously is like, well, that's weird. I had no idea. So he goes up to meet Stephanie. Finds out Stephanie is basically in the same problem that he's in. She also does not know who her real name is or why she's there. And so they decide, you know what, safety in numbers, we'll befriend each other and see if we can find out what our pasts are and what's going on in this town. So the thing about Mr. Potsdam is, first of all, he's unemployed and kind of lazy and fat, and so he's always sitting on the couch when you see him. And he's really hoping to get this job alongside Steve's father working at this meatpacking plant. which we'll get back to that in a second because it's a lot grosser than it sounds. So around the places he's wandering around, he keeps getting these people who tells him he needs to join the Lodge. And the Lodge is this huge building at the center of town that kind of looks like the Hagia Sophia. And it sort of serves as the headquarters for this group called the Order of the Harvest Moon. It's kind of like a, you know, Order of the Water Buffaloes or like a Masonic temple type thing, you know, Shriners, that kind of thing. And so eventually Steve decides to go to the Lodge and he talks to the guy who's the sergeant at arms there. And basically he asks him like a series of questions. And the sergeant tells him these will all be answered when you get out of the building. If you want access and become a member, you have to do a series of initiation rites. So over the next week, he is given a new task each day, which starts off with things like petty acts of vandalism and quickly escalate to things like theft and arson, all of which have unforeseen, often tragic consequences that usually result in someone's accidental death, murder, or suicide. We're talking about for example, one of the things you'll find is there's actually a school there, and it's very much the early 50s, so, you know, it's Cold War, nuclear scare, all that stuff. So you go there, and it's like, you know, there's like a teacher walking around with a baseball bat, and all the kids are doing like a duck and cover drill in the hallway, and one of the kids looks up and he's like, if there's a nuclear bomb, how is this supposed to save us? And the teacher basically conks him over the head with the bat. And at first it's played up for laughs with like stars, you know, going around his head and his eyes going all willy-nilly. And then the camera pulls back and he's lying dead in a pool of his own blood. So yeah, it's like, it's that kind of thing. So eventually you end up doing things like starting off with like going to steal a gas can from the evidence room at the sheriff's department. And the way you do that is you have to go to the general store and you have to buy a dirty magazine to give to the deputy so that he'll go away and do, you know, what you do and leave you alone long enough so you can actually break into the evidence room and get the gas can. And then you come back and the sheriff comes back and he's like, hey, Steve, where's Deputy Loomis? And then you hear Deputy Loomis, like, quietly singing, you know, she'll be coming round the mountains when she comes, and he's literally jerking off in a jail cell. It's insane, and that's just gross. It gets downright horrific the longer on the game gets. Eventually, it gets to the point where you actually start having to do combat, literally. You have to pick up things like, there's, like, a butcher knife, and then there's, like, a scythe for, you know, literally for harvesting, and a shotgun, stuff like that. And eventually, and for the record, this game is like really old, so I'm not entirely sure if I should spoil it or not, because it kind of goes into territory that it's like, oh, that's what's happening. But the game, it basically, you go into the temple itself later on, and you end up finding it's basically all these bizarre things. Like, I don't really want to spoil it because it goes off into bizarre concepts and ideas. And what ends up actually happening under the surface is, honestly, it ends up being a bit out there even for a game like this, but the thing is, this game was, when it came out in 96, it was, oh boy, it was one of those games that was put out, that was like put out there as like excessively violent, but there was also some stuff, there was like a lot of like weird sort of promotion that went with the game too. There was like when for example, the producer of the game in 1996, there was this guy named Dr. David Walsh, who was a family psychologist, who released a list of excessively violent games. And so the publisher of Harvester publicly demanded that his game be added to the list. In Germany, the game was like banned outright. There are actually still parts of Europe you cannot still not that this game is still not legally allowed to be sold in because of how unbelievably gruesome and just disturbing and twisted it can get. But if you ever want to try one of these like really out there bizarre action adventure games back when those games were going all over the place back in the day, Harvester is definitely a game you want to try. And yeah, that has been yet another installment of Brandon's Random Factoid. So, with that out of the way, it is now time to move on to the show proper. And as always with the show proper, we start off with our assholes of the week. And our first asshole of the week is a random individual. So, for those who don't know, President Obama's presidential center is currently under construction. His presidential center, which I guess is going to house like the official presidential library and stuff like that. And they had to halt construction this week because somebody left a noose on the construction site.
Yep. So the, let's see, yeah, Lakeside Alliance, a joint venture of multiple construction companies working on the center, issued a statement saying they reported the incident to police and will provide any assistance required to identify those responsible. They've still been paused here as of at least Friday.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, they are also doing some retraining on people.
Mm-hmm.
Working around the place for anti-bias training, as well as security.
Mm-hmm.
The Chicago Department of Transportation is a significant project that surrounds the site on three sides, and their work is ongoing. They also said ancillary construction services required to maintain the safety and security of the site may occur throughout the day, but yeah, they're offering a reward of $100,000 for information leading to those responsible. And yeah, that's kind of the big thing there.
Yeah. God, just really ignorant, awful thing to do. Unfortunately, it's not limited to just there because, like we said earlier, the midterms happened this week, and up in New Jersey, where you would think people would know better, a woman actually hung stuffed animal toys tied in nooses above a political sign for an African-American gentleman who's running for a House rep seat.
Yeah, this is in South New Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
Searching for a white woman accused of hanging stuffed dolls in nooses near a campaign sign belonging to a black candidate running for Congress.
Mm-hmm.
This is Tim Alexander, a black Democrat running for New Jersey's 2nd Congressional District in the House of Reps. Which I believe he did not end up winning this election. But otherwise, they revealed that video footage showing a white woman with blonde hair getting out of a late model dark-colored sedan, which may be a Buick, hanging stuffed animals from a tree in Middle Township, New Jersey. Tim Alexander responded, my visceral response was it's disgusting and a pathetic attempt at intimidation using historically racist symbols to send a message to a black candidate. Of course, the mayor says, like, this is not who we are. Just like, sure. But you've apparently got people that do.
Yeah.
Believe that stuff.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's absolutely grotesque. And our last asshole of the week is none other than Alex Jones, because the judge just demanded that he pay an extra $473 million to Sandy Hook families.
Yep. Connecticut Judge Barbara Bellis imposed the extra punitive damages on Thursday morning. That brings his totals up to nearly $1.5 billion. And, yeah, let's see. Yeah, called the Sandy Hook shooting as fake as the $3 bill. All that kind of stuff. Let's see. The record clearly supports the plaintiff's argument that the defendant's conduct was intentional, malicious, and certain to cause harm by virtue of their infrastructure, ability to spread content, and massive audience, including the InfoWarriors. Good.
Yeah.
Let's see. Alex Jones talked about this on his show. Well, of course I'm laughing at it. It'd be like if you sent me a bill for $1 billion in the mail. Oh, man, we got you. It's all for psychological effect. It's all the Wizard of Oz when they know full well the bankruptcy going on and all the rest of it. That'll show what I've got, and that's it. And I have almost nothing.
Mm.
Which is what they want. They want to take your money.
Mm-hmm.
Any money you get in the future.
Mm.
So good job to this guy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Fortunately, we actually had more heroes of the week than assholes, believe it or not. Mostly thanks to the midterms. And among other things, we have James Rosner, who is the first out transgender man elected to U.S. state legislature.
Yep. He won the race for New Hampshire's 22nd State House District, Ward 8. A 26-year-old Democrat identifies as bisexual. Lives in Concord with his wife and cat.
Mm.
So, yeah, that's good to see.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And he wasn't the only newer we got, because we also got Maxwell Frost, the very first Gen Z member of Congress. That's right, folks. Yeah. They're growing up and they're actually going into politics now.
Yep. Won election in Florida's 10th congressional district.
Mm-hmm.
By a good margin, too. Mm-hmm. It was 59% to 39%.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, he has the Orlando seat, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Defeated Republican Calvin Wimbish by 19 points. Succeeds outgoing Democrat Rep. Val Demings, who unfortunately failed to unseat Marco Rubio.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's the youngest person in Congress.
Mm.
It should be a much better young person to have in there than somebody like Madison Cawthorn, who is just a huge piece of shit.
Mm. Yeah. And, we also got another hero of the week, Wes Moore, who was elected as Maryland's very first black governor and the third in the country.
Yeah, kind of wild to be only the third black governor ever elected in this country.
Mm-hmm.
That seems like even just by the odds, you would think there would have been more.
Mm-hmm.
But unfortunately, he is just third. He's the... He gets the governorship back in the Democrats' hands
mm-hmm.
after two terms of Larry Hogan, who, despite being Republican, was more of a moderate Republican.
Yeah.
So was electable on that sort of thing, was, you know, not even really interested in Trump
mm-hmm.
And his bullshit either. But, yeah. Ran against a Trumper.
Mm-hmm.
Dan Cox, so... Yeah, that's one of the things that happened throughout this election.
Mm-hmm.
Is repudiation of a lot of these extremist far-right people.
Yep. Yeah. But, moving on from there, we also got two more boundary-breaking governors, Mara Mealy from Massachusetts and Tina Kotek from Oregon, are the very first out lesbian governors in U.S. history. Yep.
Yep. Yeah, great news.
Mm-hmm.
There's definitely concern in the Oregon race that the richest man in the state was going to meddle in it enough just to get a right-wing governor in there, but luckily
yep.
Tina managed to win pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
Handily there, and Mara Healy's the first woman to be elected governor of Massachusetts.
Yep.
Tina is the second for Oregon.
Mm.
Yeah, both are openly gay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, great to see.
Yep.
People be less fearful of these kind of women in the future, hopefully.
Mm-hmm. And finally, the last bit of Heroes of the Week is the Salt Lake City Council, because they voted in favor of a project to build a small community for unhoused people. Well, that's just fantastic.
Yeah, it's called the Other Side Village,
mm-hmm.
which is now in the process of submitting building permits, start development.
Mm.
Hopes to start housing people by next summer.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, this is going to be a smallish, like two neighborhoods set up, about 60 homes.
Mm.
They're cottage-style homes split into a smaller neighborhood of 30 homes.
Mm-hmm.
I have a bodega, plan to start a donut shop and succulent plant arrangement business. Stores will provide employment opportunities for the people living in the village.
Mm-hmm.
So they can hopefully become financially self-sufficient while connecting with the surrounding community. Yeah, they may even build an open-air event center for an auditorium for music acts and all that kind of stuff. So mm-hmm. could be a pretty cool place.
Oh, yeah.
Everything goes to plan.
Mm-hmm.
Something that should be happening or adapting, you know, housing that already exists that isn't being used for these kinds of people to help them get back on their feet mm-hmm. instead of just antagonizing them and criminalizing them as much as possible.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. All right. So with that out of the way, it is now to move on to the proper show proper. And unfortunately, we do have some sad news to impart. We lost the voice of Batman this week. Kevin Conroy passed away this week.
Yep.
Oh, this one hurt.
Yeah, had cancer.
Mm-hmm.
Died at the age of 66. Mark Hamill had a statement here. Is one of the chief voice actors in the original Batman, the animated series show.
Mm-hmm.
Kevin was perfection. He was one of my favorite people on the planet, and I loved him like a brother. Truly cared for the people around him. His decency shone through everything he did. Every time I saw him or spoke with him, my spirits were elevated.
Yeah.
And yeah, he took on that role for nearly 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
From the early 90s to about even recently as a few years ago.
Yep. He started off in the cartoon. He ended up doing it to the DC animated. And he went over to video games too. He was voicing Batman in the Arkham Asylum, the Arkham games, and I think he also voiced him in the Injustice games as well. So, yeah. Definitely, like, having a voice that attached to a character for that long is certainly a rare thing. It sucks, because he really was the voice of Batman. When you think of Batman and you hear Batman in your head, he's usually how you hear him most of the time. You know, unless it's like the Dark Knight trilogy, in which case it sounds like this or something like it. But yeah, God, that sucks. Mm. Well, anyway, the other, of course, major thing that happened this week, of course, is the midterm elections, 2022 midterm elections. And what happened? Well, there was basically this. I mean, let's be completely honest. We had been thinking about this midterm for pretty much the entire year, if not earlier, and people were advertising about it, talking about it, and getting people all riled up about it. And, you know, the pollsters and the major media outlets were all expecting something essentially what they called the red wave. The red wave is coming. The red wave is going to come, and it's going to sweep away the Democratic majority in the House of Representatives, and it's going to retake the Senate. We're now a couple days away from the actual election. They're still counting votes in some places.
Yeah.
And yeah, it looks like if the Republicans do take the House, it's going to be by a very slim margin. And at the moment, it's looking like they won't take the Senate either. So,
yeah. Yeah, they did pretty well in the governor races.
Yeah.
Won Pennsylvania,
mm-hmm.
Which was good. Massachusetts swapped over to a Democrat,
mm-hmm.
As we mentioned earlier. Maryland has a Democrat now.
Mm-hmm.
For that stuff. And it looks like they're going to get Arizona. That mm-hmm. one's still in the midst of counting. At least here they have it at 88% of the vote in. Hobbs has 50.7%.
Yeah.
34,000 vote lead. Carrie Lake on the wrong side of that. Mm-hmm. As she's been claiming fraud and all this.
Yeah.
Complaining and claiming that there's an election expert has evidence that of this stuff, and it's somebody that works for her. But yeah, Noel can only get this person onto the Charlie Kirk show.
Mm-hmm.
Which is where all legitimate people go.
Yeah.
To reveal the truth. So
yeah. And it's amazing. And for the record, if you're asking, like, okay, who really lost big in the midterms? And pretty much everyone will tell you it was pretty much the various candidates that were aligning themselves with Trump and MAGA, because the majority of them all lost, some of them very badly, and some of them in Republican strongholds. Now, not all of them, but some of them did. J.D. Vance, for example, won a Senate seat.
Yeah, unfortunately, though, that was going to be a tough one to flip.
Yeah, good luck with that one, Chris.
I mean, he's only replacing another Republican, so
yeah,
not that huge of a surprise, though. We changed out our House rep over to Amelia Sykes, which is great. Democrat there. Replacing Tim Ryan.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like, maybe the only real problem Tim Ryan had is he focused too much on China rhetoric.
Yeah.
About manufacturing and all that. And less on, like, things that seem to be consistent winners for people, which is a lot of liberal politics here, you know, abortions, which has unfortunately become a liberal thing now.
Mm-hmm.
Talking points, you know, the college debt, cancellation, you know, civil rights, essentially, all the LGBTQ stuff, all that stuff did really well.
Mm-hmm.
Seemed to be key things, as much as the media's, you know, projecting, you know, inflation was going to be big, crime, all that stuff. Conveniently, there's no more crime anymore.
Yeah.
After the election, somehow Fox News isn't talking about that anymore. So
yeah, basically what happened is we had one of the largest, 30 and under voting turnout in a long time. And they're pretty much all of the experts are giving them the credit for basically making sure that a red wave didn't happen.
Yeah, the way that this traditionally works is there's sort of a big flip in the first midterm of a new president.
Mm-hmm.
It happened with Trump as the Democrats took the House. And that can lead to, you know, stuff stalling plans and all that, though the Republicans had all three houses and they still couldn't pass legislation. So
yeah.
But the Republicans this time around didn't do that super well, which is a huge, big deal.
Yeah. And then, of course, there's like some of the other things like, well, we'll get to all that, but let's sort of go through all of this. So first and foremost, Dems did very well in governor's races, picking up Pennsylvania, Maine,
Massachusetts, Maryland.
Massachusetts, Maryland, and are leading in Arizona. Which you just went through. So that happened. As far as the Senate is concerned, it looks to be remaining at 50-50, though unfortunately the Georgia race is going to run off.
So the Arizona Senate's still finalizing their total, but it's not looking good for Blake Masters.
No, it looks like Mark Kelly's going to get that one.
Yeah, and it's like, I saw like one of his campaign ads, which is just literally him shooting a pistol for 2 minutes. That's like one of the weirdest campaign ads. Like, gee, I wonder why you didn't win compared to the man who's been in space.
Mm-hmm.
Who is the husband of one of their former Democrats representatives. So like, again, like a lot of far right Trumpers getting rejected left and right in places. It's like Arizona's suddenly more blue than you thought. And that's a hell of a thing after John McCain being the king of their politics for decades. There's that. Georgia is way too close for anybody's comfort.
Yeah, and it's mostly because there's a third party candidate that ended up taking 2% of the votes.
So Georgia's Senate elections, I don't know what all kinds of elections require this, but they have to get at least 50% to win outright.
Mm-hmm.
And Warnock basically is like 49.4%.
Yeah.
Just short. Still beating Walker, but they'll be having a runoff December 6th, so you get a few more weeks of Herschel Walker saying the dumbest things possible.
Mm-hmm.
At least you don't have to worry about, I assume it's a Libertarian that's the third party.
Yeah.
You don't have to worry about them because they got about 81,000 votes.
Mm.
That could have certainly pushed Warnock over the 50%.
Oh, yeah.
Or Walker, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, Nevada's still in contesting here as there's Republicans at 48.5% and the Democrats incumbent is at 48.4, but it's literally less than 1,000. But somehow 11,000 people voted for neither of them, which is disappointing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if there are people that are just protest voting. Like the only people I didn't vote for in my ballot were literally Republicans running unopposed.
Mm-hmm.
I just said, no, I don't need to vote for him.
Yeah.
It's like, he'll win either way.
Mm.
Let's see. And yeah, that's kind of the big stuff there. But yeah, that's, trying to see what else. Yeah. Padilla in California won his first race, essentially. Mm-hmm. He was placed in that position by what's his face? I'm blanking on their governor. But yeah, after Kamala Harris won the VP,
mm-hmm.
He got nominated for this, and then he has won outright. Mm-hmm. Not really a huge surprise. I think he's their first Latino
mm-hmm.
Senate winner.
Yeah,
in California, so that's another first there. But yeah. Right now, I think it's officially 49-49.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, they're counting the two independents that caucus with the Democrats. And so, yeah, there's still two seats here, basically. Mm. They're essentially locking in Kelly for Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, they will continue to have two blue senators. Though mm. So one of them, I think it's Kyrsten Sinema, is still the questionable one.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, still have a good chance to get Warnock in there. Just take a few more weeks.
Mm.
And Nevada seems to be kind of a toss up as they get the last few percent in there.
Mm-hmm.
And you know why some of these are taking so long? It's because of Republicans blocking any of these states from counting their mail-in ballots ahead of time.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, you're going to get the ones that are mailed, you know, the day of or the last minute.
Mm-hmm.
But the ones ahead of time, they're not allowed to count in a lot of these states. And that's why it's taken so long,
mm-hmm.
which is also part of their plan. So they can make it look like, oh, see, there's the winner that's, you know, the person that was ahead by the end of the election night.
Mm-hmm.
Why they should be the winner.
Yeah.
It's like, that's not how that works.
Nope.
It's just, in the past, it's been less close.
Mm-hmm. But, yeah. So, outside of the Senate, the House looks similarly headed to be a close stalemate, though a bunch of races are still out in limbo.
Yeah, right now it's 211 for Republicans, 204 for Democrats.
Yeah.
Need 218 to control the House. And, yeah, there's still a bunch, though. I think some of these have been getting called here mm-hmm. today, even.
Yeah.
I'm trying to remember which ones have been called. The one in Washington was called. Mm-hmm. Like one in California was called. A bunch of these. Yeah, Glusenkamp Perez in Washington was called.
Mm-hmm.
As they're just over the hump there.
Yeah.
For that. But yeah, it's going to come down to the wire, and still, as they're finishing up all these counts here.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's going to largely seem like it's going to be both at basically the same, right around the same amount.
Mm-hmm.
Democrats still have a decent chance to get to the 218
mm-hmm.
here, so could end up nothing changing. other than just having no margin for error, which maybe limits the sorts of bills they work on. But Republicans even taking the 218 may not be as huge of a detriment.
Yeah.
Because they will similarly have no room for error.
Yeah.
For any of their bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
And even Kevin McCarthy may not end up being the speaker.
Mm-hmm.
Depending on how that stuff goes. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Still plenty of time.
Mm-hmm. All right. And as far as social stuff, other ballot initiatives, but California, Kentucky, Michigan, and Vermont all voted to protect abortions in their states. So, once again, we have shown that that position is just not popular with the American people.
Yeah, it's a thing that, as much as people in the media said, nobody cares about this, it was a big deal.
Yep.
Michigan was a big deal because they had an old law in the books that could potentially be forced to be used. Mm-hmm. And said they ended up enshrining it into their constitution.
Mm-hmm.
And also at the same time, Michigan has control of the state, all the state legislature and the governorship for the first time in 40 years.
Mm.
So that's how big of a deal that is. Kentucky's was more that they had a issue to enshrine it in their constitution that abortion is not protected.
Yeah.
And they voted against that.
Yeah, it's like they, something tells me that those who were trying to make it were trying to make it intentionally confusing.
Yeah. Because their new like attorney general is saying that he's going to do everything he can to make abortion illegal.
Yeah.
Because he's a Republican.
Well, it ended up losing at the ballot box, so.
Well, at least in the Constitution, he can still do what he needs to as far as how he directs the stuff to be dealt with. But that's also not going to be a popular thing.
Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah.
But yeah. And Maryland and Missouri both voted to allow recreational marijuana. So that's two more states now where recreational marijuana will be legal.
Yeah, Arkansas had a vote, and that seems to have fallen.
Mm-hmm.
That would have been a constitutional amendment, would allow cannabis possession and recreational consumption by adults, as well as the sale by licensed facilities. Yeah, Maryland voted to approve the constitutional amendment.
Mm-hmm.
It goes into effect July of next year. Allows possession of 1.5 ounces or two plants.
Mm-hmm.
Possession of small amounts of marijuana are already decriminalized in Maryland.
Mm-hmm.
Under the amendment, those previously convicted of cannabis possession and intent to distribute will be able to apply for record expungement.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Missouri approved a proposed measure to end prohibitions on marijuana in the state and allow personal use for those over the age of 21.
Mm-hmm.
Allows for personal possession up to 3 ounces and allows individuals with marijuana-related nonviolent offenses to petition for release from prison or parole and probation and have their records expunged, so that's good.
Awesome.
North Dakota and South Dakota both had ballot measures for this stuff and both said no. One of them seems weird because it was citizen-initiated that aimed at allowing the use of marijuana in various forms for those who are at least 21 years old. Would have allowed marijuana possession of up to an ounce and all marijuana to be tested in a facility for the potency of products and the presence of pesticides.
Yeah.
And subject to random inspection, which that seems like something that confusingly just makes it seem not a good thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that's, and South Dakota just voted theirs down to legalize cannabis in the state. So that's the one where it passed in 2020, but the results were nullified by state courts.
Hmm.
So yeah, still doing well in general.
Mm-hmm.
That'll be a slow thing.
Yep. And finally, for the midterms, there were a bunch of candidates all over the country who ran on the idea that the 2020 election was either stolen or fraudulent or something like that. And almost all of them lost. Some of them still won, but it was a pretty small number compared to the ones that lost.
Yeah, like for Secretary of States, most of them lost.
Mm-hmm.
The ones that did are in Alabama, Wyoming, South Dakota, and Indiana, mm-hmm. all red states, so not like that's really going to change much there.
Mm-hmm.
For governors, Sarah Huckabee Sanders is in office now
mm-hmm.
in Arkansas, so good luck with that.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, a lot of the other ones are established ones that have been questioned at, but yeah, the bunch of losers, though, for the rest of them. And yeah. Yeah, we didn't talk about Greg Abbott and Ron DeSantis sort of won handily for their states. It sort of seems like Florida now, instead of being a toss-up state, is now solidly red.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, though, Greg Abbott just, I don't know what's going on there. Like, even people in the Uvalde district voted mm-hmm. for him.
Yep.
Despite wanting change as far as gun control legislation, was like, well, that's not how it's going to work.
Yeah.
But that's a state for, like I saw a good tweet, is like, for 27 years, they've been campaigning on fixing all the problems, and they've only made it worse.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, just how it always goes, but yeah.
Mm.
Similar thing for the Senate.
Yeah.
Where a lot of the ones that have already been doing that are still doing their thing.
Mm-hmm.
And many of the ones that got voted out, told to go mm. fuck off, like Dr. Oz.
Yep.
Lost handily.
Mm-hmm.
And it turns out, like, when the media started saying, like, oh, that debate was a bad thing that Fetterman did, mm. apparently not at all. Apparently that endeared him to people.
Mm-hmm.
Showing his limitations, something that made people like him,
mm-hmm.
especially as he was openly talking about it when he went around the state for various stops.
Because
mm-hmm. guess what? Most people have somebody in their life that's gone through something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that's your midterm election update.
Yep. It was supposed to be this big dramatic thing, and that didn't.
Nope. Just general repudiation of Trumpism.
Yeah.
Liberal policies.
Yeah.
Usually popular.
Yeah.
Shocking.
Funny enough, you're getting all the sort of usual suspects kind of turning around and heavily criticizing Trump for saying he's the reason that they lost the midterms, even though technically they didn't really lose the midterms. It's just, it's a stalemate rather than what they were hoping was going to happen.
Yeah, to be obfuscating everything.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to block everything, so.
Yeah. So now what's starting to happen is a lot of the sort of GOP-related media is starting to rally itself around Ron DeSantis, who obviously won another term as governor this week. Because they think he's sort of the rising star they can sort of hitch their wagon to. And the thing is, like, he is like a person who like supports most of the same positions that Trump does and is a bit more competent and, you know, not as prone to scandal as he is. But the issue is he doesn't really have the charisma that Donald Trump has.
No. Like, if you look back when they had the hurricane hit and he had mm-hmm. to do the parade of following Biden around
mm-hmm.
to make sure that they got their hand out. Kind of
yep.
He just looked like her
mm-hmm.
the whole time. He just did not look like anybody of power. Not that Trump yep. does either.
Yeah.
You know, he just went around throwing paper towels at people
mm-hmm.
in Puerto Rico and all that.
Yeah.
But now you're going to have Trump tearing him down.
Yeah, he is. He's already come up with a little name for him, Ron DeSanctimonious.
Yeah, he's been whining on his Truth Social
yeah.
account about them and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Especially he's like, oh yeah, no, I'm not angry about the midterms. We did really well. All that is to be like, okay, sure, whatever. Whatever you say.
Mm-hmm.
And we can see all the numbers.
Yeah.
But, so yeah, Democrats become more liberal. Mm-hmm. People want that.
Yeah.
They don't want to be fascist.
No. They're kind of trying to send you a signal.
Yeah. Lean into what AOC and all of the squad won.
Yeah, all the squad.
Lauren Boebert's on the edge.
Yeah, she might actually lose.
Yeah, I think she's probably going to barely win.
Yeah, but it's going to be like by a couple hundred votes.
Yeah.
And that's if it doesn't end up going into like a runoff, which is also possible. But
I think it's more that would just go to a recount.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, she was supposed to win handily, but now she's claiming that the Republicans sabotaged her. And it's like, oh, great.
Mm. But, yeah. So that was the midterms. The news for that. Moving on, we got some other news to talk about. Specifically, FTX Crypto Exchange. It is currently seeking bankruptcy after both the Department of Justice and the Securities and Exchange Commission are investigating fraud claims. Because anything involving crypto will inevitably involve some sort of financial fraud.
Yeah, FTX and its CEO and founder, Sam Bankman-Fried, are under investigation by the Department of Justice and the Securities and Exchange Commission to determine whether any criminal activity or securities offenses were committed.
Mm-hmm.
The person could not discuss details of the investigations publicly and spoke to the AP on condition of anonymity.
Mm-hmm.
It's centered on the possibility that the firm may have used customers' deposits to fund bets at Bankman-Fried's hedge fund, Alameda Research. In traditional markets, brokers expect to separate client funds from other company assets.
Mm-hmm.
Violations can be punished by regulators. So it's like, well, $8 billion conveniently disappeared from the FTX exchange and ended up in his hedge fund. And conveniently, also, he might be on his way out of the country. Definitely not related to any of this. Mm-hmm. And claims it was all fake. It's like, oh, yeah, that's... It's really easy to mix up those things.
Mm-hmm.
Stealing people's money, but I think FTX is going to be shutting down.
Yeah.
But yeah, this is the crypto exchange GameStop was partnering with a few months ago.
Mm-hmm.
So good luck with that. Because, it's really easy to commit fraud, even if people are trying to spin this as a good thing, because they're getting screwed like the bank screwed people over.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Next up in the news of the spiraling downward trend of Twitter, Twitter Blue was recently taken down because many people impersonate brands and cause chaos. Gee, almost like everyone was warning that was going to happen.
Yeah, there was one where somebody pretended to be Nintendo of America with Mario giving the finger, which has a great at name, at Nintendofus.
Mm-hmm.
Nintendo of US, Ten Doofus.
Mm-hmm.
But some of these may even had real world impacts.
Yeah.
Like one for Eli Lilly, whose stock price dropped sharply after the false message. Let's see. We apologize to those who have been served a. Oh, no, that's the real one.
Mm-hmm.
I'm saying we are excited to announce insulin is free now. The fake Eli Lilly account, which obviously was never going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
But their stock price took a tumble anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So did other pharmaceutical companies that also got spoofed on there. Somebody also tended to be Tesla.
Mm-hmm.
Bunches of us. Yeah, like honestly, the 53% drop in stock price doesn't faze us.
Mm-hmm.
If there's anyone who knows about crashing, it's us.
Mm-hmm.
There are people impersonating George Bush saying, "I miss killing Iraqis."
Mm-hmm.
And a Tony Blair impersonator show up like, "Yeah, me too, honestly."
Mm-hmm.
A bunch of popes and various brands and all sorts of chaos.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, hey, it's almost like this was a really bad idea and they were right about it.
Mm-hmm.
So they ended up pulling it, I think, last night. So people had to stop. They basically shut down any accounts.
Mm-hmm.
But hey, for a few days there, it cost $8 to do some really good comedy on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
Especially because the check mark you got if you clicked on it just basically said this person paid for Twitter Blue. versus the ones that have it from being notable people. So it's like, hey, this person's notable in the, you know, government, entertainment, or whatever space. And so there are a lot of good memes around that, too. One I saw today was just the from Shaun of the Dead. With the real crew with the real check mark and the fake crew they run into. That's a complete mirror of them. With the fake one. So, yeah, comedy's been pretty good on Twitter lately. I guess Elon Musk was right that comedy is back. Except it's all at his expense. He's paid $44 billion to get his ego destroyed over and over again. It's always a good price to pay.
So after that, so back in the early 80s, there was a rather tragic event happened when the space shuttle Challenger during liftoff actually exploded in midair. And it's especially remembered throughout the country and particular generation because one of the astronauts was a former school teacher. So a lot of schools were, you know, watching it happen, airing it on television.
This aired like a week and a half before we were born. That's a notable thing about it for us.
But anyway, History Channel crew actually managed to find a large piece of the Challenger out in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean this week.
Yeah, not for a show related to any of this.
It was just totally by chance.
It was for a new series called The Bermuda Triangle into Cursed Waters. You know, a thing that the History Channel should care about. But that's that's the unfortunate part of the History Channel these days. Because they're all into conspiracy shit. Because they've had enough history for 20, 30, 40 years, whatever. But they found a 20-foot-long piece of debris from the Space Shuttle Challenger off Florida's east coast, out in the Atlantic. But yeah, this NASA also confirmed that this is what it is. Yeah, they released a news release. NASA currently is considering what additional actions it may take regarding the artifact that will properly honor the legacy of Challenger's fallen astronauts and the families who love them. Yeah, that was a big deal. That was like a big blow to NASA's reputation. Because kind of after that, they would still occasionally show them on TV and whatnot, but it wasn't a big deal at that point. Because we've been to the moon several times at that point. You know, it wasn't a sexy thing to show anymore.
Next up, the National Park Service started asking people to stop licking toads at an Arizona park. Now, there's literally only one reason a person would go licking toads.
Drugs. But yeah, this is...
Some toads secrete a toxic substance that can double as a psychoactive drug.
Yeah, you often see signs about, like, you know, don't pet the wildlife, don't feed them, don't even get near them. But now the National Park Service has had to add a new sign saying, warning against licking the toads. As they posted on Facebook, as we say, with most things you come across in a national park, whether it be a banana slug, unfamiliar mushroom, or a large toad with glowing eyes in the dead of night, please refrain from licking. The toad is also, it's a Sonoran desert toad, also known as the Colorado River toad. It's about 7 inches in size and carries a weak, low-pitched ribbit sound. But the creature is far from harmless, as it secretes a potent toxin that can make people sick if they touch it or get the poison in their mouth. Despite the risk, some people discover that the toad's toxic secretions contain a powerful hallucinogenic known as 5-MeO-DMT. In recent years, smoking amphibian secretions has grown in popularity. So much so that the species is even considered threatened, at least in New Mexico, due to collectors that want to use the animal for drug use. Which is annoying about it. A number of public figures are reported experimenting with the toad's extracted toxins, like Mike Tyson.
Mm-hmm.
Some researchers have even begun to study it for its potential therapeutic benefits.
Mm.
Even Hunter Biden has written about using that particular hallucinogenic for therapy as a form of addiction treatment.
Mm-hmm.
So, but it is considered a Schedule 1 drug by the mm-hmm. DEA.
Yep.
So it's just like marijuana and all the other big drugs you're not legally allowed to use for medical use or has a high potential for drug use
mm-hmm.
or drug abuse.
Yep. Yeah, so moving on from there, we're now very much into the entertainment portion of the show, and boy, do we have a lot of stories for that. The first and foremost is that Studio Ghibli made a Grogu short for Disney+. That is, they made a Baby Yoda short.
Yeah, mm-hmm. that is... they posted like a weird teaser on their Twitter, just the Lucasfilm logo
mm-hmm.
Transitioning to the Studio Ghibli logo.
Yep.
And we found out that as of today,
mm-hmm.
It is on Disney Plus called Zen, Grogu, and Dust Bunnies.
Mm-hmm.
So not a huge surprise, because Studio Ghibli has worked with Disney for years. They've been the ones helping localize many of their movies over the past 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it's also the directorial debut of Katsuya Kondo.
Mm-hmm.
A veteran Studio Ghibli animator served as the animation director on Kiki's Delivery Service and Ponyo.
Mm.
It's added to the collection of the many sort of shorts they have on Disney Plus for mm-hmm. various properties. A lot of Simpsons ones they have for various other Disney properties.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah.
But, yeah, And speaking of spinoffs, Netflix is currently working on a Gears of War movie and an animated series. So that's going to be fascinating to see.
Yeah. Could be interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's kind of a wild mm-hmm. thing. It's a property that's been sort of rumored to be made into a movie at some point over the past like 10 or 15 years.
Mm-hmm.
Just never gotten off the ground, but Netflix would be more likely to actually get something done.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, people are pushing Dave Bautista's one that should be Marcus Fenix,
yeah,
because he has literally said in interviews in the past couple of years that he wants to do a Gears of War movie.
Mm-hmm.
And hey, guess who would like to pay him for that?
Mm-hmm.
Netflix would.
Yep.
I mean, he's even a skin in Gears 5
mm-hmm.
that lets you play the campaign with him instead of Marcus Fenix.
Yep. Yeah, so that's happening. I would actually like them to actually explore some of the lore of those games, because believe it or not, there is a expansive lore underneath it. They just don't do really well of explaining it in the games. In other Netflix news, we found out that Henry Cavill is actually leaving the Witcher series after season 3, and he's going to end up getting replaced by Liam Hemsworth.
Yeah. Yeah. The big reason people are assuming is because Henry Cavill is going back to being Superman.
Yep.
For WB, and that's a much bigger payday for him.
Yeah.
As much as he is a fan of the Witcher stuff.
Yeah.
There's probably more work to do each season
mm-hmm.
For that stuff. But yeah, this is a big deal for Liam Hemsworth.
Mm-hmm.
As he is a lesser Hemsworth, so he does not get as many big roles as his brother does.
Mm-hmm.
This will be a big show for him.
Mm.
The new show, the new season here, trying to see if they have a date for when that's starting. So I think it's later this year.
Mm-hmm.
I'm surprised they don't have a date here. Mm. The third season has a set release window, summer 2023. So that's next year.
Mm.
So yeah, they'll probably be starting to work on season four here in the near future.
Mm-hmm.
Next couple of months, and then have that probably out by next year or 2024.
Mm.
Even, but yeah, there you go.
Mm-hmm. But we also, and related to Witch, to The Witcher, we got a teaser trailer for The Witcher Blood Origin, which is a story that takes place in the Elven world about 1,200 years before the time of, you know, the major Witcher series. So we're actually going to get some Elven lore. That's actually fascinating.
Yeah, featuring Michelle Yeoh,
mm-hmm.
As the one of the lead characters.
Yep.
Looks pretty neat. It'll be on Netflix December 25th, so
mm-hmm.
Perfect Christmas show. That'll be a four-part series.
Mm-hmm.
So not too long.
Sounds good to me. Yeah, so that's happening. And we got a clip announcing that 3 will be arriving November 18th, so I think that's, next Friday. Well, this coming Friday, but yeah.
Yeah. Cuphead Show Part 3.
Mm-hmm.
Gonna have another batch of episodes. It's nice that they're kind of just keeping these going.
Yeah.
I don't know how much more they have to go.
Mm-hmm.
But this clip is pretty good. As things have happened, and say one of the characters has been taken away.
Mm-hmm.
And so Cuphead returns home sulking. As Papa Kettle is sort of trying to figure out like what's going on.
Mm.
Some good bits there in this whole clip. Definitely worth watching.
Mm-hmm.
Though I assume this will also be probably in the first episode of this part. So,
mm-hmm.
Starts next Friday. Looking forward to this.
Yeah, looks good. And we got a couple of trailers to talk about here. First, we got an official trailer, Glass Onion, a Knives Out mystery. So obviously it's a spinoff, a sort of side quill or whatever you want to call it, to the heavily acclaimed film Knives Out.
Yeah. As Benoit Blanc has
mm-hmm.
found himself invited to this big party.
Mm-hmm.
To play some part in this supposed game, as the rich guy hosting the party is like, oh yeah, there's somebody's gonna kill me. That I want you to figure out,
mm-hmm.
kind of thing, and then ends up somebody else gets killed, and he ends up going on this whole big, almost like a big escape room kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Going on is there's lots of weird ass like puzzles and such as he's trying to figure out
mm-hmm.
who did it and all that. Looks really fun.
Mm-hmm.
That'll be out December 23rd on Netflix.
Mm.
So there you go.
Yeah. We also got an official trailer for Dragon Age. Of course, is an animated series related to the Dragon Age games.
Yeah.
It looks good, though. Am I the only one who looked at this and watched this trailer and like was getting a lot of Legend of Korra vibes from the art direction? It may have just been me, but like, yeah, I was kind of getting some Legend of Korra vibes from the art direction. That said, though, it definitely looks interesting.
Yeah.
And, you know, the next Dragon Age game is supposed to be coming up fairly soon now. So I'm wondering how this is going to tie into that particular story.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not sure exactly where this takes place in the timeline.
Well, from what I've seen, it seems to take place sometime between Dragon Age 2 and Dragon Age Inquisition.
Okay.
Considering that both Cassandra and Leliana can be seen there. So, yeah.
Yeah. Seems like this animation studio did, let's see, The Witcher, Nightmare of the Wolf.
Mm-hmm.
So that animated show, let's see, Voltron, Legendary Defender.
Mm-hmm. That was pretty good.
Yeah. And Cannon Busters.
Mm-hmm.
At least a couple episodes of that. And did some work on Love, Death, and Robots.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, they've done some good work.
Yep. And finally, last but not least, we got an official trailer for John Wick Chapter 4, because that franchise will never die.
Now it does pretty well.
Yep.
Oh yeah, that'll be out March 24th next year.
Mm-hmm.
Looks pretty neat. I need to catch back up on that.
Mm-hmm.
I think I have all three of them. I just haven't. I think I watched the first two, and even the second one I don't remember much of.
Mm.
But yeah, looks like I have much more good action there.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, looking forward to this.
Mm.
But yeah, that's neat.
Yeah, that's pretty neat. And yeah, I mean, as long as, you know, but yeah, I mean, I'm pretty, I've actually never seen any of those movies, would you believe it? I really should, because apparently they're really good.
Yeah, they're movies that are directed by big-time stunt directors.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, the stories maybe are not really all that interesting, but mm-hmm. The action is really good, really well done.
Mm-hmm.
So definitely worth checking them out. I don't know what streaming service they would be on.
Mm-hmm. We'll find out eventually, I guess. But yeah, so I do believe we have ourselves a show today, folks. Yes, we do. We have ourselves a show. So I would like to remind all of our listeners, if you got a question, comment, something you want us to be on the air, you can get in touch with us at letsweekenders@gmail.com. That's letsweekenders@gmail.com. We got it linked right here in the show notes. If you want to click on it and send us a little mail. We've also got, on top of Apple Podcasts, you can catch our little bit of Unscripted Shenanigans at TuneIn, Google Play, RSS, archive.org, pretty much any kind of podcast aggregator you can think of. And if we're not on there, just give it a few minutes. We'll show up eventually. Not like we have much else we're going to be able to do, considering how cold it's fixing to get. In fact, I think it's seeping into my brain now as we speak. I'm starting to realize that I sound really loopy for some reason. But, yeah, so we're going to wrap it up here. Join us next week when we have a bunch more shenanigans to talk about. In fact, we'll probably have more results from those house races that are still up in limbo. And we'll see, you know, where it all goes from there. But until then, take care, everybody. We'll see you next time. Bye.